Thank you all very much for coming and for learning with us. And as Jonathan pointed out on Shabbos, it's a very exciting day today. We get to start Arba Psachim, the final chapter of Masechta Psachim, where we deal with all the laws of the Seder, Matzah, Maror, Haseba, reclining, Arba Kosos. So it's very, very exciting that we merit to, here we are 30 days before Pesach, and we're going to start learning really those topics of so many practical halachot, laws of how to celebrate Pesach, Baruch Hashem. So, today's daf is daf Tzadi Tes. We were on the very bottom of Tzadi Chesom and Beis. We learned a lengthy Mishnah yesterday, which dealt with a complicated scenario. Two Karbanos Pesach. So let's say there is the Chestnut Street Karban Pesach, and then there is the Booth Avenue Karban Pesach. We each bought a lamb, and the two lambs got mixed up with each other. So now we don't know. We don't know, is this lamb the Booth Avenue lamb? Is it the Chestnut Street lamb? We don't know. It's all mixed up. So we learned an interesting idea that you can pull out of a Karban Pesach, you can sign up with a new Karban Pesach, but the Mishnah assumes you need to have one original member with the Karban Pesach. So the Mishnah said, when you get, we have two groups and their lambs got mixed up with each other. So, okay, so we don't know now which lamb is which. So the Chestnut people will just take a lamb. And the Booth people will take a lamb. And before that, one of the Booth people will join the Chestnut people. And one of the Chestnut people will join the Booth people. And they'll say, this is now our new lamb. This is our lamb. This is going to be brought for us. If this lamb was originally ours, great. We now have a new guy with us, a Booth guy with us. If this lamb was originally from the Booth people, so we now joined his lamb and we pulled out of our lamb. And the same is said by the other group about the other lamb. And both lambs are brought. And they can both eat. That's what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah goes on to talk about all sorts of scenarios, what happens. One person, his Karban Pesach, and the other guy also only has one lamb. Each one only has a whole lamb. One person for the whole lamb. So now you're stuck, right? If I'm going to, and the lambs got mixed up. I don't know what's mine. I don't know what's Baruch's. And we just each have one lamb. So now if I say this lamb that I'm taking, maybe it's Baruch's, but now it's going to be me. Or yet Baruch's saying that lamb maybe is theirs, but now it's going to be me. But then you don't have an original participant still in it. So now what we have to do is we each have to add somebody. Before we take the lambs, I'll take Eli to be with me, and Baruch will take Yosef. So now there are two of us. We say, wherever my lamb is, there are two of me, there are two of us in that lamb. Baruch says, wherever my lamb is, there are two of us in that lamb. Now we each grab a lamb, and we say, listen, you know, we're going to bring this lamb. If it's supposed to, this was originally mine, it's still mine. If it wasn't originally mine, and it really was Baruch's, so Baruch's pulling out of his lamb, and I'm going into this one, right? And that way, there's an originalist in the lamb, plus there's a new person in the lamb. Okay, that's what we learned in the Mishnah. It says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan Hilchos Braisa. Right, the Mishnah began with a group that had a Karban Pesach, and the Karban Pesach went missing. So they send a shaliach, one of the members, to go find them anew, to go find the original. But then they panic. They themselves go out and get their own animal. Right? The first case of the Mishnah. So Tanu Rabbanan went to the Mishnah, went to the Braisa to explain the case of the Mishnah. Amar Lahen, if he said to them, listen, if I don't find the original, I want you guys to offer a Karban Pesach for me. Amar Lo, and they said to him, you know, you go find the original and slaughter it for all of us. Then ochel min harishon. Then everybody's going to eat from whichever one was brought first. Lo amar lehem. But if he didn't tell them anything, he goes out to find a Pesach, and they go out to find a Pesach. Lo amar lo. They don't tell him anything. Then einin machrayim zeh lezeh. Then they're not responsible for each other, right? The Pesach was lost. This guy goes out to find it. Whatever he finds is going to be his. They go out to bring their own. Whatever they do is theirs. So now they're always going to be okay. You know, they're not responsible for each other. So Mikan Amru, so from this law, our sages said a rule, Musar rule. Amru Chachamim, our sages said, Yafesh Tikal Chachamim. You see that being quiet helps you out. wise people should always choose to be quiet. Not to speak up so much, to be quiet people. Because had he said, I want to be part of yours, and they said, we want to be part of yours. And then if you don't know who was brought first, then none of them can eat. But because he was quiet, so he's okay, and they're okay. This is true about wise people. Certainly this is true about foolish people, that they should be quiet. Shanamas, the pasuk says, Evil Machrish. If you have a fool, but he's quiet, Chacham Yechashav, he's already a wise person. And the guy's quiet, he's considered wise, even though he's really a fool, but he's quiet. He knows how to be quiet. Nobody sees his foolishness. He's already considered wise. And then the Mishnah talk about what I mentioned. Shnayim Shinesaru Pisrehim. Let's say you have two people. Zev has a carbon Pesach and Baruch has a carbon Pesach. And our two lambs got mixed up with each other. So now, if I take an animal and I say, well, if this is mine, it's mine. But if it's not mine, if it was Baruch's, Baruch is out. Now it's mine. Doesn't work, because now there's not going to be anyone from the original group. So I need to take somebody to join me. Baruch needs to take somebody to join him. I say, well, wherever my carbon is, this so-and-so is with me on it. Baruch says, wherever my carbon is, this so his partner is with him in his carbon. And now we each take the lamb. I say, this lamb, if it was mine, good, it's mine with my friend. And if it wasn't mine, so it was Baruch's, but Baruch's pulling out, and now it's going to be mine. And Baruch says, I'm taking the lamb. If it was mine originally, it's fine. And if it wasn't mine originally, then Zev pulled out of his, and now it's going to be mine. Fine. And we go ahead. Says the Gemara, maybe must nisin look Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe this Mishnah is against Rabbi Yehuda. Because the Mishnah has somebody left, but it's not somebody from the original group. It's only after the two lambs get mixed up that Zev has somebody join him and Baruch has somebody join him. But you don't see that you need to have someone from the original Chabura still in the lamb. The Tanakh is not in a Bryce. The Pasuk says, V'imimata b'ayis miyos nisa. And if the household is too small to be able to fill up a sheep, so then they go to the neighbors and they sign the neighbors up into their sheep. So it sounds like the household is small from a sheep. According to Yehuda, that means you could sit, look at the household and you say, well, it's not enough to be this sheep. They could even drop out of the sheep. But there has to be somebody from the original group still in this sheep. Give Rabbi Yehuda. You have to have somebody from the original group to be able to add people to it. So in our case, you don't have anybody from the original group because the original group is just one guy and he doesn't know where his lamb is. Rabbi Yehuda said, no, all the Pasuk means is actually a nichlus a Pesach kamoshu. They can't leave the Pesach without anybody in it. Somebody's got to always be in the Pesach. It doesn't have to be somebody from the original group. So Rabbi Yochanan said the case of our Mishnah can work even according to Rabbi Yehuda. Avilatim Rabbi Yehuda. Yehuda holds you can't slaughter a carbon Pesach for one person. You always need to have at least multiple people. So therefore, Meikara, when Zev took a lamb, and Baruch takes a lamb, right away it's not considered just Zev's. It's considered Zev with somebody else. We don't know who that somebody else is yet. But there's going to be somebody else. So therefore, and I add that other person, he's considered like one of the original group. Ravashi said, Masisa Nami Deika. Mishnah also is clearly saying that. It's funny because the Mishnah says, Bechen Chamish Chaburo Shul Chamish Chamisha. Same would be if you had five groups. Five groups. Each of them are five people. Right? Five Korbanos Pesach. Each of them had five people in the carbon Pesach. And they all got mixed up. Chamish Chaburo Shul Chamish Chamisha. So the Mishnah says, then you take. Each person takes a lamb from the mixed up group, and he takes four people from the other groups, and they join into this lamb. And he says, you know, if this was what this was my original, these are my new four partners in it. And if it wasn't my original, so it was one of theirs. So I'm now partnering with them. I pulled out of my original, I'm partnering with them. So it said, if there are five groups of five, Aval Shel Chamisha V'Arba, let's say you had four groups of five and one group of four, lo, it wouldn't work. Why? Because if you had one group of four and four groups of five, that means that in one of the karbanos, in theory, you might not have one of the originals. So So that's the proof that this Mishnah is following Rabbi Yehuda, that you need to have one of the originals in order to be able to add people to the Chabura. Hajan halach misha yatame slikala pesach sheni. Okay, Baruch Hashem. Now we merit to start Perek Arvei Pesachim, which is very exciting. Okay, we start with the Mishnah. Erev Pesachim, on Erev Pesach. So we know, come Pesach night, we're going to have a mitzvah to eat matzah. So since we have a mitzvah to eat matzah, we're going to learn now, there's a law that the matzah should be eaten with te'avon. Part of hiddur mitzvah, part of beautifying a mitzvah, is that a mitzvah of eating should be done with gusto. You shouldn't be eating something that you're not interested in eating. You should be hungry. So therefore, on Erev Pesach, we're not allowed to eat, not allowed to have a start a meal, I should say, from the afternoon. Because if we start a meal in the afternoon, come the Seder night, we're not going to have appetite for matzah. So Erev Pesachim, on Erev Pesach, Samach L'mincha, not even late into the afternoon. So right next to the Mincha time. Now we know Mincha is the time to daven the afternoon prayer. The Gemara told us in the Masechta Brachos that the sages instituted the prayers to replace the Karbanos of the Beis HaMikdash. So Shachar's prayers to replace the Karban Tamid Shel Shachar, and Mincha is to replace the Karban Tamid Shel Beinu Arbayim. Typically, the Karban Tamid Shel Beinu Arbayim was brought in the afternoon. Erev Pesach was an exception. We bring it early. It would take an hour to do it. But normally, it's brought in the 8.5 hour of the afternoon, 8.5 hour of the day, I should say. And then by the end of the night, by the 9.5 hour mark, you finish with the Karban Tamid. So really, the best time to daven Mincha is the time of when they would every day be finishing up their Karban Tamid. So the best time to daven Mincha is what we call Mincha Ketana. Mincha Ketana is an equinox day, a day where the sun rises at 6 and sunset is at 6. Equinox day would be 3:30. That's Mincha Ketana. That's the best time to daven Mincha. That's the time when the Karban Tamid Shalbeinu Arbayim and the Beis HaMikdash was typically being offered and the parts were being burnt in the fire. That's mamish, the best time to daven Mincha. That's called Mincha Ketana. Now, sometimes, if you really want to daven early, there is an early time where you could daven Mincha. It's called Mincha Gedola, which would be 12:30 on an equinox day. Like Purim on Friday, it was 12:37. It's pretty close to that. So that's Mincha Gedola, because on Erev Pesach, that's when they would start with the offering of the Tamid Shalbeinu Arbayim. Because remember, Erev Pesach needed a lot of time to offer the Karbanos Pesach. So they would do it at the earliest possible time. So the earliest possible time for Mincha is Mincha Gedola, but the best time for Mincha is Mincha Ketana. So the best time is really 3:30. That's the best time for Mincha. So here, the Mishnah is saying a half hour before that, at 3 o'clock, a half hour before 3:30, that's already the time not to start a meal. So if you go from 3 o'clock till 6 without food, you didn't start any food. You have like a snack or something. A drink of water is okay, but you don't have a proper meal. You don't fill yourself up. So then you'll have appetite because you'll have Mariv, and you'll say Hallel and Shul. You come home, you start a Seder, you have Manishtana and Magid. By the time you get to the meal, I don't know, it's going to be 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. You'll have a nice, good appetite. And now you'll eat the matzah, the te'avon. That's what the Mishnah teaches us. Erev Pesachim, Erev Pesach, Samach L'mincha, a little bit before the Mincha time, namely at 3 o'clock, Lo Yochal Adam. Person should not eat. Person cannot eat. He can't start a meal. Ad Shetechshach, until it gets dark at night. Until it becomes night. Can't start a meal until it becomes night. Right, that's halacha number one. This is halacha number one, the importance of eating matzah l'te'avon. You should eat the matzah with a big appetite. Look at the Tosfos here. Lo yochal adam, a person shouldn't eat. Hirish says Tosfos, the second Tosfos on the page, afilu ispala. Even if you already daven mincha, you still shouldn't eat. Mishum matzah.
And the reason is because of matzah, kedamina b'gemara. As the Gemara says, you want to have matzah, let's say oven, you want to have appetite for the matzah. So below is foul tefilas mincha filu b'shayim osashana asr. Now if he didn't daven, anyway, he's not allowed to eat, because you're supposed to first daven and then eat. Kedamina prepare a kama to Shabbos. The Gemara says in Shabbos, first you should daven mincha and then eat. Don't start a meal at mincha time, because that might schlep on, it might drag out, and you'll miss out on mincha. Okay, so you davened already. Vim Tomer, now Tosfos asks, Umalo yochal, what's he not going to eat? He matzah, if we're talking about matzah. Filum kodam nami asr kedamina b'Yerushalmi. Even before 3 p.m., you're not allowed to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. Because the Yerushalmi says, Kala ochal matzah b'Erev HaPesach. Anyone who eats matzah on Erev Pesach, it's as if he has intercourse with his engaged wife in his father-in-law's house. You know, here he's supposed to be waiting till they get married. And he's jumping the gun. So a guy who eats matzah on Erev Pesach is a fellow who jumps the gun. So the Yerushalmi says, you're not allowed to eat matzah the whole day of Erev Pesach. And in fact, there's some who have a minhag not to eat matzah already now because of this idea to have the appetite for matzah. Some start with Rosh Chodesh Nisan, not eating matzah, but certainly on Erev Pesach itself, you can't eat matzah. So you're not allowed to eat matzah anyway, the whole day. Maybe mean it's targima. And if you're going to say, you know, like little snacks, you can't have Mishnah saying don't have a matzah ball, don't have a little macaroon. But Hamina b'Gemara have a matzabul b'mina targima. The Gemara is going to say you're allowed to take snacks. You're allowed to have the little macaroons and matzah balls. So Tosfos doesn't understand the whole Mishnah. The Mishnah says don't start a meal at 3 o'clock. Tosfos, what type of meal could you even have on Erev Pesach? You can't eat matzah. You can't eat chametz. It's after midday. You can't eat chametz. So what's the meal that you can't start at 3 o'clock? Yesh lomar. So Tosfos answers to Ayri b'matzah shira. It's talking about matzah that has liquids other than water in it. Matzah with eggs, matzah with apple juice, grape juice, oil. And that's what it's saying, you're not allowed to eat after 3 o'clock. Hello, Asabi Yushalmi, matzah uya latzis ba yadei chovasa. Yushalmi, which says you can't eat matzah all day Erev Pesach, is referring to that matzah that you would do the mitzvah with. Because right? The whole point is don't jump the gun. Don't be early with it. So it's the matzah that you'd have a mitzvah with at night. That's what you can't do on Erev Pesach. Ochla kodum zman, if you're eating it before. Aval matzah ashira shaya. But egg matzah, so we call egg matzah. So egg matzah, you can't fulfill the mitzvah with anyway. You can't fulfill the mitzvah of matzah with egg matzah. So therefore, you're allowed to eat egg matzah on Erev Pesach. It's not chametz. You're allowed to eat it on Erev Pesach. And that's what we're saying, though. You can't start a meal with that at 3 o'clock. Chayin hayanoi Rabbeinu Tam says Tosfos. This was the minhag of Rabbeinu Tam. So the minhag of Rabbeinu Tam was to eat egg matzos on Erev Pesach, but not to eat regular matzos on Erev Pesach. Now, this is a very important Tosfos for this year. This year, Erev Pesach is Shabbos Kodesh. So on Shabbos Kodesh, we have a mitzvah to have 3 meals. So how are we going to have 3 meals and having 2 meals by day? Okay, we can have a meal Friday night, fine, we'll leave some chametz. But already at 10:50 in the morning, we're not allowed to have any more chametz. So if you don't daven early, you daven normal time. So how are you going to have a meal on Shabbos day? How are you going to do Shalosh Shudas? How are you going to do Suda Shlishas? You can't have chametz after the 4th hour. And you're not allowed to eat matzah, because Yerushalmi says, anyone who eats matzah on Erev Pesach is kabol arusasa beveis chametz. The classical answer is this Tosfos. You have a meal with egg matzahs.
What's the preferred method to wake up early?
I think the best is wake up early, daven as early as possible, and then have 2 meals of chametz. The problem is with that, you get into the issues, is it really 2 meals? Does it look like a joke? Are you really planning to have 1 meal? What do you mean you have a break? Can you really make, is it a bracha? Is it an appropriate bracha? Is it a bracha sheina tzricha, a necessary bracha? So there are problems with having 2 meals. I think that's the best, to have 2 meals of chametz. So take a walk after the first, have like a real hefsek, walk to another place, Maybe eat the second meal in a different place. But one of the big answers is this tosos. One of the big solutions is to use egg matzahs. You know, the some say for Shalosh Sudas on Erev Pesach, which is Shabbos, you'd just be yotzi with Divrei Torah. Just learn the Divrei Torah, that's how you're yotzi, because you have all these problems with chametz, matzah, egg matzah. Okay, but this is one answer. One answer is to eat egg matzahs. Nope, nope. You have to make sure you have a good appetite for the mitzvah. Okay, wonderful. So, Erev Pesach. Now, I just saw, again, I saw a secondhand source. I didn't look it up, but apparently the Maharal disagrees with this Tosfos. The Maharal holds that there are two types of egg matzahs. There's egg matzah, which is flour and just oil. So that you couldn't fulfill the mitzvah with. But then there's egg matzah of flour, water, and oil. So when there's water in it, the Maharal thinks that that could become chametz, and that you could fulfill your mitzvah of matzah with such egg matzahs. So he holds, you're not allowed to eat those type of egg matzahs on Erev Pesach. So others disagree with the Maharal, but that's the point of the Maharal. He does not agree with this Tosfos. Okay, so again, Erev Pesach, close to mincha time, namely at 3 o'clock, lo yochel adam, person can't start a meal, ad shetechshach, until it's night, stars come out, then you can start your meal. All right, now a new halacha, moving on from matzah to the mitzvah of heseva. Seder night, we have a mitzvah to show that we're free, and it's the way of free people to eat while reclining. In the days of the Mishnah, they used to have little tables like we have here in front of us, and couches, and a person would recline on his left with a little coffee table with the food, and he would eat off of the table. That's the way to recline. That's the right way to eat. To eat derech heirus, the way of freedom. So the Mishnah now says, afilu ani shemi yisra, even a poor Jew, lo yochal, he should not be eating at the Seder night ad sheyasev, until he is reclining. He has to be reclining, as Rashi says, ad sheyasev kederech b'nei chorin, till he reclines as the way of free people, zecher l'cheiros, as a memorial to the freedom, the mita, with a little couch, ala shulchan, and a little table. This is also very inspiring. Right? You're talking about a poor person. And normally a poor person might say, I'm depressed, I'm poor, I don't have anything. But Seder night, even though he's personally poor, he should still be so happy. He's part of Klal Yisrael, we've been redeemed. So maybe physically he's poor, but he's always a free man, he's always rich, he's always luxurious. And he still has to recline. Another law about the poor person. Third law of the Mishnah. They have to give him 4 cups of wine. He needs to have 4 cups of wine. Even if he can't afford the wine, even if he's so poor that he is supported by the community's food fund. The community food fund was called the Tamchui. There were two types of charity accounts in the Jewish communities in the times of the Mishnah. There was the kupa. The kupa would give a person food for a week. And there was the tamchui. It would give a person food for the day. So he's so poor. He's ani shebaaniyim. He's so poor. He doesn't even have food for today. He doesn't even have 2 meals. He doesn't have today's food. So he has to come to the tamchui to get 2 meals for today, where they only give for the day. It's Ramish, the most desperate cases. Even the person who's desperately poor has to have 4 cups of wine, and it's the community's responsibility to give to him enough wine for 4 cups. Here there's a famous story about Rav Yosef Tov, Halevi Soloveitchik, the Beis Halevi, Chusa Yagan Aleinu, who was Rav in first he was Rosh Yeshiva in Volozhin, then he was Rav in Slutsk, and then he was the rabbi of Brisk. So So 1 year before Pesach, a poor person comes to him and says, Rebbe, Rabbi, I have a shaila. I own a cow. I don't have a lot of money, but I have a cow. Am I allowed to have arba kosos on milk? Can I have 4 cups with milk? Not 4 cups of wine. 4 cups with milk. So the Gemara says that there's a prohibition of shtuya yayin. When a person is drunk, he's not allowed to issue a psak halacha. When a person is drunk, he's not allowed to walk into Beis HaMikdash, walk onto the Temple Mount. So the Gemara and Sota talks about somebody who is inebriated by milk. So you see that somehow milk can also make a person drunk. So maybe for Dalit Kosos, you don't need wine. You need something which makes a person drunk. So maybe I could use milk. So basically, if he didn't answer the question, he right away went and he took a lot of money and he gave the guy tzedakah. So his wife said, why'd you give so much money? That's much more than wine. Obviously, he can't afford wine. This lady said, yeah, but if he's having milk, it means he also doesn't have meat. He's asking the shaila if you can have 4 cups of milk. It means he doesn't have meat either. He's not going to have milk and meat at the same suda. So he needs to have money, not just for wine, but also for meat, for a suda, to be able to enjoy Yom Tov. So that's the obligation. We have an obligation to take care of the Pesach needs of others, and even the poorest of the poor, to make sure that he has 4 cups of wine. Again, I saw in a secondary source, what about if somebody gets sick by drinking the wine? Is he obligated to have 4 cups of wine if it's going to get him sick? So first of all, you should know that Rav Soloveitchik, my father's Rebbe, and the Chazon Ish, they used to use grape juice. They didn't use wine. They felt that grape juice is fine for arba kosos. They used to use grape juice. But would the halacha say that you should get yourself sick to do the 4 cups of wine? So the simple reading of the Mishnah Berurah is no, because we have a general rule that for a mitzvah say, you don't have to spend more than 20% of your assets. You don't have to spend more than a chomesh, more than a fifth, to fulfill a mitzvah say. So even though 4 cups of wine is a mitzvah say, it's part of the mitzvah of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim, telling the story of leaving Egypt and experiencing leaving Egypt. You don't have to spend more than 20% of your assets. And if you're going to get so sick that you would be a no-fail mishkav, you'd be stuck in bed, I'm not talking about your life would be in danger, just you can't function normally. So l'chora, that people would spend a lot of money to avoid that. So therefore, the person would also be exempt from drinking wine in such an instance. If, though, you know, the drinking of the wine is just going to cause a headache, it's not going to really stop you from what you would normally do. That the Mishnah Berurah seems to say you should do the wine, even though it's going to be uncomfortable. Some say that especially with Dalit Kosos, it doesn't make sense to be drinking wine if it's going to get you sick. Because the whole point is derech eros, to show freedom. You're not showing freedom by getting yourself sick. People try to avoid getting sick. Especially free people, they avoid things that are very uncomfortable. So therefore, some say, especially in Dalit Kosos, not to do it if it's going to get you sick. Grape juice is good. We said that. Rav Soloveitchik and Chazon Ish, they use grape juice for the 4 cups. You don't have to use wine.
Why do I have to clean out the lip sack?
Well, so we'll see in the Gemara. It's a strange thing. The Rashbam says that there's a fear of choking. We have doctors in the room. What do you think, Dr. Lichtiger? Is it any more dangerous to lean on the right than to lean on the left in terms of choking?
It's probably less dangerous to lean on the left because there are 3 openings to the lung on the right and 2 on the left. So it's less likely that food would fall into.
Oh, so it is. It's less dangerous. Okay, good. So that's what the Rashbam says.
This may be a ridiculous question, but if somebody is poor.
Yes.
And doesn't have the money to spend on either matzah or maror or wine.
Right.
What's the chiyuv? The oraisa before
yes.
The rabbanan?
Yes. Okay. That'd be the matzah. That'd be the first obligation. All right, so again, the Mishnah taught us, matzah, you have to eat l'teyavon, you have to have appetite, and therefore don't start a meal at 3 o'clock on Erev Pesach. Have to wait till Tzeis HaKochavim and have your Seder meal. Asks the Gemara, my iria, Arvei Pesachim. Why do you say, in particular, Erev Pesach, don't start a meal? As we just learned, we just had it, Purim on Friday. We had to finish our meals early because we didn't want to interfere with Shabbos. So every Erev Shabbos, every Erev Yom Tov, you're not supposed to have a meal after 3 o'clock. The time is under the Braisa. You shouldn't be eating a meal, you shouldn't be starting a meal from 3:30 and on a Friday or on an Erev Shabbos, because she comes to Shabbos to shoot taivas, that you enter Shabbos with an appetite, and you'll enjoy Kiddush and the suds of Shabbos, you'll enjoy it, it'll be beloved to you, and it's not that it's a burden that you're doing a mitzvah, you're enjoying and embracing the mitzvah. Did Rabbi Yehuda, that's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi says, he disagrees. He says, you're allowed to eat all day on a Friday. According to Rabbi Yossi, he disagrees. As long as you started before it became night, you can keep eating. That's the view of Rabbi Yossi. So, again, according to our Mishnah, why did our Mishnah say in Erev Pesach, you can't start a meal at 3 o'clock and on? Every Erev Shabbos and Erev Pesach is an Erev Yom Tov. Every Erev Pesach, every Erev Yom Tov, every Erev Shabbos, you're not allowed to start a meal at mincha time, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So Rav Huna said, "Letzricha el Rabbi Yossi." So maybe this mission is following the view of Rabbi Yossi. Amru holds, "Ochem olechad shetekshach." That really on a Friday or an Erev Yom Tov, you're allowed to eat. You're allowed to start a meal until the stars are coming out. So you're allowed to start a meal until Shki, I should say. Honey, maybe that's only true. You're allowed to start a meal on Arvi Shabbos and Arvi Yom Tov. But on Erev Pesach, even Rabbi Yossi agrees. Mishum chiyuv de matzah, because there's a mitzvah of eating matzah, which is a biblical mitzvah. Torah says, "Erev tochlu matzos." So there's a mitzvah to eat matzah, even if you don't have Korban Pesach. There's a biblical mitzvah to eat matzah, and so therefore you should eat it when you're hungry, and you shouldn't start a meal. So even Rabbi Yossi is moda. Rabbi Yossi also agrees. Yeah, question. Yeah. Right, is that right? Rav Papa.
Crackers is okay, right?
What's that?
Crackers, matzah crackers.
What's the difference between matzah crackers and matzah?
Just like
I think it could be a problem.
I think they cook them differently. You know, this is like for the afternoon, I'm talking about.
I don't know, I have to see what it is. Well, now they have gluten-free matzos made out of tapioca flour. That should be okay. Tapioca flour should be fine. Now, Rav Papa said, "Afilu tem Rabbi Yehuda." Now, the Mishnah could even be found Rabbi Yehuda. Awesome, Rabbi Shabbos v'yam tovim. And I'm in cholamalu the aser. On a regular Friday or an Erev Yom Tov, you're not allowed to start a meal from mincha time, from 3:30. It's not mincha mincha, but if it's at 3, a half hour before, sure, you'd be allowed to start. Erev Pesach, avi l'samach l'mincha, nami aser. Erev Pesach, even at 3 o'clock, you're not allowed to start. Ask the Gemara on Rav Papa's answer, and if Erev Shabbos, samach l'mincha, shari. Are you right that according to Yehuda, it's only at mincha time that you can't start a meal, but you could start a meal at 3 before mincha time? What time will you do in a braisa? A person should not start eating on a Friday or an Erev Yom Tov from hour number 9 and on, from 3 o'clock and on. Kadesh Yikonis L'Shabbos Kishu Taiva, Div Rabbi Yehuda, so you enter Shabbos when you have a big appetite, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosef disagrees. He says, you're allowed to eat until sunset. You're allowed to start eating a meal later. So you see in the Brisa when Rabbi Yehuda said Mincha, he didn't really mean Mincha, he meant Samacha Mincha. So Marzutra said, "Man leim lander mitaretzda." He says this brisa is correct. Maybe the brisa is wrong. And when the brisa is saying Rabbi Yehuda's view, it doesn't mean from hour number 9. It really means hour 9 and a half. Amli mereimar v'item Rav Yemar. Some mereimar, some Rav Yemar answered. Ana iklu lepirke Rav Pinchas b'Rav Rav Ami. I once went to the shir, the drasha of Rav Pinchas, the son of Rav Ami, v'kam tanan, an expert in brisas, got up. V'tani kameh, he said this brisa in front of him, that according to Yehuda, you're now to eat, start a meal on a Friday from 3, The kibbutz, he accepted it. He didn't correct. He didn't say no. 3:30. He said 3. Yochikasha. So now again, you have a problem with Rav Papa's answer. So this is a proof. You have to give the other answer. The answer of Rav Huna. That our Mishnah is following the view of Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi holds you're allowed to eat on an Erev Shabbos or an Erev Yom Tov all the way till Shkia. But Erev Pesach, he agrees, you have to stop at 3 o'clock. You can't start a meal at 3 because you have to have an appetite for eating matzah. Okay, Adkan, Daf, Tzadik.